Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years, since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's promescent.com/Emily. promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out. Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. Do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a Magic Wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the Magic Wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades, and I've been obsessed with my Magic Wand. I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago, because now there are multiple iterations of the Magic Wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the Magic Wand Rechargeable, tiny with the Magic Wand Mini or Micro. Micro is really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure.
If you listen to other people's stories, you can't help but start thinking, if I was in that situation, how would I react?
Right.
And if how one person's reacting looks really stupid, file it away. So the next time you're in that situation, you know what? It was stupid when that person said it. So why is it going to be exactly any better when I say it?
Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and on today's show, I'm joined by TV personality and icon Jerry Springer. And we're talking about his new show, Judge Jerry on NBC. Plus, I answer your sex, dating, and relationship questions. Topics include what Judge Jerry is all about, human connection, relationships, and yes, entertainment. How to maintain a happy marriage, courtesy of Jerry Springer. Ways to up your oral sex game when you've gotten some negative feedback. And what to do when you're married and in love, but you're starting to get feelings for someone else. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. It feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com. You're going to love our website, chock full of information to help you have better sex and relationships, and find me on all social media. It's at Sex with Emily across the board. All right, guys, I hope you enjoy the interview with Jerry. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
Jerry Springer. Jerry, you're actually like a cultural icon.
I apologize.
Okay. But you really are. I mean, well known for your talk show, the Jerry Springer Show. Yeah. And now you have a new show, Judge Jerry on NBC, which I've been binging on.
Well, thank you.
Of course, I do my work.
Yes.
And so I feel like that you have such an amazing way of getting people to communicate, which I was realizing we have a lot of similarities because my whole thing on the show is, you know, people call in, they ask for advice. I always say communication is a lubrication. Yep. Get your partner to talk. And I feel like, you know, at 75 now, you have a lot of knowledge, a lot of experience. You've been helping people for a long time. So now with Judge Jerry, what has made you want to do this show at this time?
Well, it wasn't my idea. I was getting ready to stop taping the Jerry Springer Show, and we've been doing that for 27 years. So, being 75, it was, you know, it was time. I thought I wasn't crazy about it, but it really was time. And literally 1 month before our last day of taping, Sean O'Boyle comes in. He's head of sales for NBC, and he comes into the office. He says, "Do you have a minute?" I say, "Yeah," and he stands up and shuts the door, and that scares me because when they shut the door, this can't be good news. He says, "You're a lawyer. How about doing Judge Jerry?" And I just thought about it literally for a few seconds. I said, "Yeah." And as it turned out, it's the only job I've ever been trained for. Every other job I've had, and I've been real lucky in life, has been handed to me. It's not anything I went to school for.
Right.
But this was, you know, finally all the money my parents put into law school.
They're like, right, exactly, right.
And it's the first grown-up job I've had in 30 years.
Right, so the other, so, but that was a real job showing up for 27 years.
No, it's,
no?
I'll tell you what, to be a talk show host, I mean, on the kind of show that I was doing, which was a circus, you only need 3 lines. You need to be able to say, "You did what? Come on out. We'll be right back." If you can do those 3 lines, you're a talk show host.
Yeah.
What else did I do? It was, I mean, it was great fun, but anybody could have done it. I happen to have been a host of a show that took off.
Yeah.
But it wasn't because of anything I was doing.
Well, I would like to say, I would like to dispute that because I believe that you are somebody who has a personality that you kind of, you don't judge people. You kind of help people see what is morally right. Even when all the craziness was going on with the Jerry Springer Show, you were still kind of the voice of reason in the room. But now with Judge Jerry, you really are. Like, you are, it's a little more control. I mean, it is controlled. Like, you are kind of seeing these people come to you.
Yeah, this is right. This is, it's, you're dealing oftentimes with the same kind of issues.
That's what I was going to say. What are the issues?
Well, it's small claims. It's $5,000 and less. So it's automobile accidents. It's landlord-tenant. It's a guy has a fiance. He gives her a ring. "Will you please marry me?" She says yes, and he slips their engagement ring on her finger. 2 months later, she finds out that he's cheating on her. She breaks off the engagement. He wants his ring back. Does he get it back?
Does he get it back?
Oh, watch Judge Jerry. No. Well, yes, and I'll explain why.
Okay, why?
There is, if he would have given her the ring for Christmas, let's say. That's a gift.
Mm.
When you give an engagement ring, that's what we call a conditional gift. Will you marry me? If she says yes, she gets the ring. So she's accepting the ring as a condition of marrying him. That was the agreement.
Right.
He didn't just say, hey, have a ring, you know, looks pretty on you. Will you marry me? Yes. Here's the ring. If she breaks it off, even though she had every reason to, she has to give the ring back because right. the agreement was, if I marry you, you're giving me this ring.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. I mean, the ones that I saw, I watched a few, and a lot of it was families. It was like,
yeah,
it was like a father and an uncle, right? They were fighting over meatball sandwiches. The daughter gets a bill for, you know, over 1400 bucks.
You really have watched.
Of course, dude. This is my job. How can I sit and talk to you if I don't know what's going on?
You're very good at what you do.
No, thank you. Same with you, which is why I'm very interested in this, because I feel like, because when I'm watching them, there was a family, a mother and daughter, the daughter owed the mom money. And I thought, are we really just, do we just not have the right tools to operate as humans? Do we not know how to communicate? Have we not learned? Are we not teaching in schools? And, you know, what do you feel like a lot of it really is just getting people to know the right thing?
The thing is,
with a little with law sprinkled in,
there's no school for becoming a parent. And, you know, people have kids with absolutely, and not because they're bad human beings, they haven't acquired the skills, maybe because they didn't have parents that taught them those skills. So we all of a sudden are bringing children into the world without the skills of teaching them how to deal. So maybe they grew up in a household where things weren't talked out in a reasonable fashion, where you didn't learn responsibility, where you didn't have a moral code that says, if someone is doing this, I should be nice to that person. Well, this is a family member. Because I agree, and I said in some of those cases, why would you ever sue your own kid?
Right.
Or a grown daughter, why are you suing your mom?
Right. Right.
You know, what are you guys going to do at Thanksgiving? It's
exactly.
bad. Yeah, it's bad enough that we have to watch that we can't talk about Trump because that'll go crazy.
Right. Let's not talk about politics.
Yeah. So, right. and now we can't even. So it is sad that it reaches that. But in a civilized society, there has to be some structure whereby disputes can be settled without grabbing weapons.
Right.
So the reason you have a judicial system, the reason you have a court system is that these disagreements can be worked out where everyone is going to accept what the result is.
And they have to.
You
like
can,
the argument's over
right.
there. It has to be
yes.
at least.
And if we don't have that, we don't have a civilized society.
Right.
Then we will have anarchy, chaos, total violence, etc.
Well, what do you think about, so if you're in your 27 years of doing the Jerry Springer show, and now just a month into your new show, yeah. Judge Jerry, which everyone should check out.
Yeah, it NBC Universal syndicates it, but you check with your local listings.
Okay.
Because it's in every city in America.
Congratulations.
But I had nothing to do with
JudgeJerry.com.
Yeah. But they sold it in every city in America, so you just check whatever community you're in and see what that, it's a daytime show.
Right.
So
it is daytime. But here's what I want to know, though. How do you think in the last 27 years we've been doing this, has Americans changed that much? Or has your audience changed? Like, do you think that we are, with technology, for example, that we're actually way worse at communicating? Are you kind of seeing similarities like, oh, it's really kind of the same issues there was 20 years ago? Most of us have childhoods that have some challenges. I would say the majority of us. And I would also say the bright side of that is if you do the work, most of us are kind of here to work through that stuff.
Well, I start off on the assumption that we are all social beings, that if you had television 2,000 years ago, you would have had talk shows. And if we have television 2,000 years from now, we'll still have talk shows. We are social beings. It used to be 2,000 years ago that people would gather in the town square or in the marketplace and just chat with each other about what's going on. Oh, did you hear what happened to so-and-so?
Right.
And that is being a human being. It's why we're different than trees or even animals. We communicate about what's going on with people. We're social. And that the only thing that's different today is where we always talked about what our neighbor, what was going on in our neighborhood, because of technology, our neighborhood today is the planet Earth.
Right.
So through first radio and then television and then social media and the internet, now our neighborhood is the planet. We know more about the Kardashians than we do about who's living next door to us.
We don't know our neighbors, which I think is a huge problem. We're all so disconnected.
Yeah. So it's like, so I'm not, so if you ask me 30 years ago, we're talking about the same things and we will always talk about it. We will always talk about people and what their current problems are. Think about it. Every day we're alive, there are at least 100 decisions that we have to make. We're not even conscious that it's a decision. You know, which way are we going to work, or go to work today? What am I going to wear? My kid asked this question. Should I go take the kid to the soccer game or what about? In other words, we're constantly making decisions. If you just mathematically know that every human being on Earth is making 100 decisions a day, just mathematically, the odds are that some of those decisions will turn out not to be right.
Right.
Not because it's a bad human being, but because sometimes you don't have all the information, you're under stress, whatever. So there are going to be conflicts.
Right.
Just mathematically, there are going to be conflicts. And therefore, we have to have a system. Communication is obviously the best way to do it. But not everyone has the same communication skills.
The thing. This is the main thing. People always like, oh, sex with Emily. What do you talk about all day? Or it's like, no, mostly my job is I'm helping people communicate. Yes. What do you want? What does your partner want? How do you talk about it? And so what do you think? Like, and I know you've always been very, you're not judgmental. You vote people are your beloved. Like your list that you are. I mean, really. And so what do you think it is about your upbringing that, how did you get set up for this? How do you know the right thing? I'm not saying you haven't made mistakes. Perhaps you have.
Yeah.
But what is that about, like, your upbringing? And what would you love to see parents?
Well, I lucked out in the gene pool of parents. If you think about it, 99% of what we are, we had nothing to do with. There's not one person I've ever met, and there's not one person listening to your audience today that had anything to do with the decision to be born, to whom they'd be born, in what era, in what country, with what brain, with what health, with what environment. You know, there's nothing to do with that. I could take Bill Gates, admittedly one of the most, what we would all agree, successful people you can imagine. If Bill Gates had been born in Ethiopia, he would have been dead at the age of 5. So therefore, virtually everything that happens in our life, we had nothing to do with. Now, the last 1%, we work really hard, and some of us will turn out to do make better decisions, maybe because they were born with a better brain. I had great parents. They guaranteed that I would get to school, that I would learn, you know, et cetera.
And now using the law degree.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, you know, that's it. But if I didn't have my parents and had perhaps different parents who weren't either as smart or weren't given the opportunities or whatever, who knows? So it's, I think if we're conscious of that, first of all, we wouldn't be so elitist. We wouldn't be, well, I made it, why can't they?
Right.
You know, no one should say, I made it on my own.
Right.
Nobody makes it on their own. I mean, just get over it.
Right.
You know, when you're sitting alone in the room at night before you go to sleep, just think about it. Don't we all, you know, those are people who have been, quote, successful in life. We know this is a show. I mean, my gosh, how did I get this?
Right. Well, did you, though, Jerry? Like, what? I know you're saying you're so humble and you're like, oh, I'm just.
I have reason to be.
I
have a mirror.
I didn't do anything but say, welcome to the show. You're like, oh, I was just really good at saying, and we'll be back after this. But that's not true. Like, I feel like there has to be some things at 75. What could we learn? Like, what are you hoping people learn from the show watching your new show, Judge Jerry? Which I got sucked in.
Well, I mean, what I'd like, you know, it's the same thing I told my daughter or my grandson, is, you know, just be nice.
Right.
It's, if that would be the only rule in life, be nice. And if you're nice, you won't hurt someone. If you're nice, you won't steal. If you're nice, you won't be inconsiderate.
Right.
You won't purposely inflict pain. If you're nice, you'll be charitable. Right. I mean, it's not that difficult.
Okay, but in a sense, okay, so I'm going back to the meatball sandwich one, because I was really into that episode. I'm okay. Like, how is this father suing his daughter over, it was their uncle who made the sandwiches for the bill. And right. Then all of a sudden, what I love, was there was a moment where he's like, you, and the daughter's standing there crying, like, can't afford this bill. Yeah. And he's like, but you never listened to me. You're a teenager. And then the husband you married was against my will. And you're like, that's the problem here. So it all goes course. Down to that she went against her father and married someone he doesn't like. And now for years, yeah. they've been. So I guess he would probably think he's a really nice guy, the dad. He probably, his employees like him, his family likes him, but people don't know how to resolve conflicts. Yeah. And then they just sort of insidious.
Well, here's what I think happens. And if I had your job for a day, and I am not qualified to have it, but the one advice when people like, because of the show, would ask, I'm having this problem with my wife or husband or whatever. When the things people are yelling about are most often not the thing they're upset about.
Exactly. Yep. There's people call in about things. I'm like, that's not the question.
Right. That's, when I tease around about guys, not understand, my wife yells at me for this and now we're fighting. I said, you're getting drawn into the fight over taking out the garbage. She's not yelling at you because the garbage hasn't been taken out. She's yelling at you because there's something that she asked you to do that you don't think is important enough to listen to and to just do it because she's going to feel better about it. That you thought, you made your own decision. It's not that important. You're going to watch the game instead. And this could have been building up.
Oh, for years.
You she walk into the house and all him. Of a sudden she's throwing things at you, verbally. And you just say, but it's the thing that they're yelling about is not what they're angry about. So instead of getting into a who can shout louder or use the bigger curse words, just deep breath.
I believe that everybody needs therapy to help them. Did you ever have therapy? You've been married for a long time.
46 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever have therapy?
No.
So what's the secret to your success?
Marry the perfect woman.
Come on. That's not fair. Yeah. We're all trying for that.
Yeah, I know.
Anything you'd say in our final seconds here?
Oh. If you love someone, the first question always has to be, and even drill it into yourself, what's going to make her happy?
Okay. What about the happy wife, happy life?
The what?
Like the happy wife, happy life thing? How about making you... Okay, that makes sense.
But if she's... Because you know what? If I'm not happy because something happened great with her...
Right.
Then how much do I really love her?
If you're threatened or
jealous...
When
you're young...
Yeah.
When you're young and you fall in love with someone... Hey, I could argue that's the most selfish thing in the world. Because the truth is, you love that person because they're making you feel great.
Right.
You love the way she looks. You love the way she treats you. You love the way that she just stares at you. And it's all you. You don't love someone out of charity.
Yeah, no, it's true.
You know
it's
what? She really likes me, so okay, I'll marry her. No. But when you're together, after a while, it's like with your kid or with our grandson. Honestly, the happiest thing, if he got a great report card. In the last 2 days, we've just been bubbling over it. it's like, oh my gosh, we never thought that he was taking it seriously.
Right.
And he's got these great grades. So, that if you can be happy because they did well.
Right. Because someone else is happy. Your partner's happy.
Yeah. And if that doesn't really make you that happy, then think about it.
Right. Are you threatened? Are you jealous? What's it bringing up for you? Which is why I think we need therapy. Or listen to Judge. Okay. So Judge Jerry, people can find it. JudgeJerry.com or JerrySpringer.com, Judge Jerry TV on Instagram. We'll put all this in the show notes as well. I'm trying to think, what else here, Jerry? Thank you. What can people get from watching the show? What do you hope? Besides being entertained?
I think when we hear other people's stories, if you listen to other people's stories, you can't help but start thinking, if I was in that, just like we were talking mm-hmm. before, if I was in that situation, how would I react?
Right. Maybe has.
And if how one person's reacting looks really stupid, file it away. So the next time you're in that situation, you know what? It was stupid when that person said it. So why is it going to be exactly. any better when I say it?
Which is why we love watching the human condition, because we are all mirrors. So yeah. thank you for the new show, Judge Jerry. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to get into your email questions. All right, it's time for emails with Emily. I love answering your questions. It's why I'm here. So if you want a question answered on the show, go to sexwithemily.com, click the Ask Emily tab, fill out the short form, or just email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. But always include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. Thanks, guys. Okay, I'm here with producer Jamie. You want to read the email?
Of course, but of course. Okay, this first one comes to us from Rowan, who is 23 in Glasgow. Okay. Hi, Dr. Emily. I've just discovered your podcast and I love it. I have a question for you. My boyfriend is getting really worried that he can't please me when we're having sex, which has led to him not wanting to have sex most of the time. He finishes quite quick, whereas I take ages, so don't tend to orgasm. I suggested we spend longer on foreplay, but this made him anxious too. How do I help him feel comfortable about sex again so we can get back to having a great sex life? Also, any tips for him to last longer? Thanks so much.
All right, Rowan, 23. Here's the deal. I love that you are realizing that, yeah, you actually need some foreplay to have your orgasm, which is, just so you know, the majority of women. Remember that only 20% of women will orgasm through penetration. And for the majority of women, 80%, we need clitoral stimulation to get us there. So what I suggest is that you have a talk with him outside the bedroom when you guys are just chilling and you just say to him, listen, I really want to like talk about our sex life. I love you, our relationship, the sex we're having, but I really would love to let, you know, explore together about what would make me feel good, and you could let him know what kind of foreplay you require. Now, for many women, it could be kissing, touching, slowing down, oral sex, using his fingers, using, you know, his hands. The reason why he seems anxious about it is because he probably doesn't know what to do to please you, which is very common. You know, and I think for a lot of men, they just kind of shut down around foreplay because they don't want to look like they don't know what they're doing. So I think that having a talk and saying, let's explore together would be great, a great place to start, and let him know that you can show him things that you like. I also like the idea of mutual masturbation because I'm hoping that you already know how to orgasm or you've had orgasm on your own. If you haven't, this goes for everyone listening. You got to do it all on your own. It really helps to masturbate on your own to figure out what feels good. Now, if he's not lasting long enough, that's another thing. He has to work on that himself as well. For men who are, I'm going to assume he's a premature ejaculator, so coming before he wants to, he has to work on edging, essentially, is what we call edging. And that's masturbating where he's about to orgasm and then he stops. So he's figuring out ejaculatory control so he can learn to regulate it when you're having sex. It's important for him to do his Kegel exercises. They're great for men and for women. I know that really helps men last longer. He can also use Promescent, which is a delay spray. You don't need a prescription for it. It helps men last 64% longer in bed, which is pretty awesome. You spray it on. You just wait 10 to 20 minutes. During that time, he can actually go down on you and please you and make sure that you have your orgasm. And then he's going to be ready to go. So that could be a quick fix. But just remember, there are no quick fixes to sex, to be honest. It's a lifelong process of understanding your body, having really smart conversations, and they get a lot easier as we have them. The conversations get easier, but also your sex life gets better. So it's worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I agree.
Right?
It does. It just, with anything, even when you have like the best partner in the world, there's going to be a point where you have to work on it to make it better.
Yes, because it'll change, it'll get boring, certain positions won't feel good anymore, you're going to want more. Everything gets a little bit stale after
yeah.
a while.
Yeah, isn't that the worst when you have a position that works and all of a sudden you're like, I can't.
I'm over it.
Exactly.
Not that position again. Right. So, it's part of the process and you're 23 years old and it's a great time to start having healthy communication now.
Okay, this next one comes to us from Colin, who's 50 in Texas. Dr. Emily, I've listened to your show for years and love it, but can't believe I'm actually bringing up this question or topic. I'm a 50-year-old male who has been happily married for 3 years now. My wife's my soulmate, and I would do anything for her. Well, my wife has a best friend who is single that has lived with us for 2 years now, and I'm finding myself extremely attracted to her, and I'm pretty sure the feeling is mutual. We touch each other in those ways that let each other know we like one another. I fantasize about having a sexual relationship with my wife's friend, and having my wife be okay with it. Luckily, she's pretty open-minded, but I don't know how to bring it up to her, and I can't get the situation out of my head. Can I actually be in love with two women? Am I a freaking mental case to even think such a thing? I'd really like some advice. I hope you can help in any way. Thank you.
All right. Okay, so Colin, listen, this is a tough situation, but the thing here is you've been married to your wife for 3 years, or 3 years into your marriage, and this woman's lived with you for 2 years. And so even if your wife is super open-minded, it is her best friend. Now, if you bring it up and you say, you know what, I've been thinking that I'd really like to be with your friend, it's going to be a huge problem. Although there's a part of me that thinks, does she not know at all? Like another woman, I don't know how big your house is or how much time you guys spend together, but if your wife came to you and said, hey, I've been looking at your best friend, I think Bob's really cute, you know, how would you feel about that? So I would recommend that you have a conversation with your wife about your sex life and just, you know, ways you guys can keep it interesting and spice it up. And I actually think that if you really start investing time with your wife and prioritizing your sex life and, you know, exploring, you know, touch, conversations, getting toys, doing all the things we talk about on the show every week, I feel like that could become a new focus for your fantasies. Like if you guys are trying new things, experimenting new things, you have a project together that is your sex life, whether you download our yes, no, maybe list, you, like I said, take, you know, watch porn together, figure out new things that'll keep it interesting, that's where your attention's going to go. But right now, I just have to think that maybe things aren't that interesting, and so it's allowing you to have all this time and all this attention to focus on the other woman. So I feel like if I was one of my best friends living with my husband, first off, like my very best friends, this just wouldn't happen. Like they would never be with my husband.
Exactly.
So I would be able to read this energy. So maybe she has a sense of it.
Maybe she has a sense, but also maybe because he says like, oh, we touch each other in those ways that let each other know we like one another. I'm like, but maybe she's just like, because Emily, you're very endearing with your friends. You touch, but that doesn't mean you want to sleep with all your friends.
No. And I have to tell you that in the past, I feel like there have been situations where men have gotten the wrong idea, like guy friends, like, oh, maybe she does like me and I'm just super affectionate and, you know, I hug. And I think that men sometimes can notoriously misinterpret women's touch and women's gestures to mean that they're more sexual than they actually are. So I would just be nervous of risking a lot of drama with this situation.
Yeah, I feel like, and it's not even going to just like put a pin, like wedge in the marriage, going to put in the pin in their friendship. And then especially if the friend is like, no, dude, that's not even what I was thinking at all. The wife's not going to trust the friend. Right. And it's like,
it's going to be super, super messy. It already is messy in your mind. So I think the good news about sex is a lot of us get wired in these ways that we think it's the only way we can have sex. We have thoughts that are obsessive about sex. We can only orgasm a certain way, or we can't orgasm at all. Or even if we're a premature ejaculator, like our last email, it's like, these are all learned practices and our brain gets wired, but we can rewire our brain with practice of filling it with other thoughts, other emotions, other activities, other ways of moving that can actually allow us to redirect our sex life back towards actually having pleasure and satisfaction that works for us, not against us. Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks for your email. Let me know how it goes, Colin.
Okay, this next one is from Lauren, who is 25 in Long Beach, California. Hi, Dr. Emily. Thank you so much for your podcast. It is so helpful. My question is about oral sex. I've been single for 6 years, so I haven't been consistently giving blowjobs like I would be in a relationship. My last boyfriend kind of taught me how when I was young. I was with him for 3 years and gave them often, and he always seemed to enjoy them a lot. He would give me positive feedback, and I felt very confident after a while. Fast forward to my single life, and the last two guys I slept with complained about my teeth during a blowjob. Oof. The boyfriend I mentioned before never said anything about teeth, so this was a new realization. I have a very small mouth, so I think this might be an issue I didn't know I had. Now I'm very insecure about giving one, and I'm worried I will hurt any future guys. This is giving me some anxiety, and I'm not sure what to do about it. I saw online tips about covering your lips with your teeth. However, this makes it difficult to get any suction going. If you have any tips, please help a girl out. Thank you so much.
All right, Lauren, this is such a great question, because I have to tell you that one of the first tips about giving a blowjob is to cover your teeth. And so I know while you're doing it, like right now, if I sit here, I think it would be hard. My teeth are covered, so yeah. Jamie's. Without a penis there in your mouth, it'd be hard to picture that would actually be able to work. But you're not necessarily sucking the whole time. It's more like you're moving your mouth up and down, you're using your tongue, and you're really just like cupping your, it just becomes a practice, you know? It's like riding a bike. I feel like I've been doing it, so I don't even think about it. Like my teeth.
I know, same.
I just they automatically go, you just, no teeth. So I feel like, you know, your first boyfriend, right? Watch the teeth. So, babe, I understand why you have anxiety over it because it's two guys told you this. But I feel like, you know, if you have, if it use a lot of lube, that would be great. We love Womor Play. It's like a coconut oil lube or Muse, which is water, which is water-based, and they're flavored. And that also makes it fun. Our producer at Sirius, Christina, was saying that she used the Muse,
the mint chocolate,
giving her husband a blowjob, and she does not like giving blowjobs. And she's like, I gave him the longest blowjob because it tasted so good. That's the Muse lube. But I feel like using, you know, making sure that your mouth is covered, and then using your hands, you guys. Our hands are great accessories to any blowjob. You can focus on the shaft with your hands, and then on the tip, just use your mouth, use your tongue, you know, suck around the head. The frenulum is the most sensitive part of the penis, which is the underside where the shaft meets the tip. But also, I would even make a joke about it. I mean, like, I would even say to the guys, like, tell me if you like it. I want to make sure I'm not hurting you. Or like, you know, like, you could just look up and say, I want to make sure I'm doing this right. How does this feel? And just be like playful and fun with it, because then you'll know. Be like, be sure to tell me. I mean, I think that women, and same with men, they think they have to be perfect at it, and then they don't try. Just like our first email from Rowan, and she was saying, oh, now my boyfriend's anxious about going down on me or about foreplay, because literally we just don't know what to do. And in your 20s, or sometimes people in their goddamn 40s, but especially you haven't been with as many people, no one gives you feedback really, but now you have two guys in a row, so now we know you have to cover your teeth. So it's really just it's practice, and it's being open and knowing that this is like something that I promise you can learn. It just takes a little bit of practice, and if you play for, like, does this feel good, or let me know, and just play with it, they'll be happy that you asked and that you're guiding them. Ask them while you're like, it's in your hand, and you're like, how does this feel, as you're like licking the tip. And
definitely.
So I understand, I you know, just be playful with it. And I get the thing about the teeth, but once you get in there and you're covering your mouth, you're gonna understand what I mean. You're covering your teeth, you'll understand.
Yeah. And I coming from someone, I have a, you know, I have a pretty small mouth. But it should, the covering of your teeth should not affect the blowjobness.
Yes,
in fact,
exactly.
It kind of makes it easier to keep things wet in a
it
sense.
It does.
Because you can lick those parts of your lips, and it feels better for them.
Exactly. Lick your lips, put some lube on it, keep reapplying lube, because a wet blowjob is a happy blowjob.
Mm-hmm.
So wet, use your hands, use enough pressure, and then just cover up your teeth and just ask questions and get back out there, girl. Get back on the blowjobs. Make sure you're getting yours, girl. All right, great question. Love a good blowjob. Love all these questions. Thank you for listening, for supporting the show, for giving us 5 stars wherever you listen and subscribing. I so appreciate that. That allows us to continue to do 3 shows a week, which we love doing. Thank you, Jamie. I love you, my producer, Jamie. And thanks to my awesome team, Ken, Kristen, Elisa, Michelle, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.